Each night I'm taking the book of Exodus one chapter at a time. I've taught through many Bible books, verse by verse. This one, I'm going chapter by chapter. The sixth chapter ended after God had given seven I wills to Moses, after it became abundantly clear that God was going to deliver them, not because the people deserved it, not because Moses deserved it. God was going to do it for the sake of his covenant with another, Abraham. And Moses is still not believing. Came to pass at the end of the sixth chapter, on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. Notice he says, all that I say unto thee. We've already passed the fifth and sixth chapters, so I won't belabor them. But Moses didn't say it exactly like God told him to earlier. God told him to tell Pharaoh to let his people go for 3 days. And he told Moses Pharaoh would say no, but he told him to tell him to let them go. Moses and Aaron went and asked him. Difference, subtle difference. That editing of God's commands. Sometimes people wonder why I tell you to participate instead of asking you to participate. God's not going to be a beggar. I make it clear I want no one to participate in what we're doing except those that have been taught, responded to the word, and are the called. You're no longer volunteers then. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. The tithe is the Lord's. You don't have anything to say about it. The next book of the Bible, Joshua's not going to ask the people to march around Jericho. He's going to tell them to. And he didn't even tell them why. So what's wrong with the church world today? Too many beggars, not enough commanders in leadership. And when God gets ready to do a job, he can do it with some inadequate instruments, because when the Lord got done talking, Moses said before the Lord, behold. Oh, you know, they really get spiritual with that word, behold. Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. And how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Still protesting. Still throwing up that lie. It's a lie. Well, I suppose you're a literalist. A pair of wire cutters could fix his lips, but he didn't mean literally. He just meant he couldn't talk too good. The Bible says earlier he was mighty in word and deed before God ever called him. It's just a lie. It's just like the excuses you give. Just lies. Oh, I haven't got it. What do you mean you haven't got it? Where's your supply? Excuses. God just overlooked it. It's almost unbelievable. This guy still mouthing his inadequacies. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. What God wants to do with some of our miserable protesting selves. When he called Moses and Moses complained about he couldn't talk earlier, God said, I'll give you Aaron. You should be a god to him. And he'll be a mouth for you. Now, God's consistent with his word here. If God's going to be a... If Moses is going to be a god to Aaron, and Aaron's the fourth teller of what Moses says as the god to him, Aaron doesn't talk to God, Moses talks to God. Moses then takes the place of God, Aaron says what Moses says for him to say, and he fourth tells it to Pharaoh, so Moses is going to have the position. What dignity God gives us to represent him. God's going to do all these miracles and deliver these people, weave the fabric of history in a 400-year strand, and dignifies Moses to take his place in that scenario. Do you really think that God can't take this message to the world with angels? You think God is so limited he's only got one flashlight from heaven that he could shine on Paul? What do you think would happen to the world tonight if all over the world? What's the population of the earth today? Come on, somebody give me a quick round figure. How much? 5 billion? That's a good enough guess. That's close enough. I mean, any figure's inaccurate. Because nobody really knows. Assume 5 billion. You think God hasn't got 5 billion lights? He could shine? He won't even make a dent in the atmosphere. Exhausting his lights. And you think his hand is short and his ability limited, that he couldn't shine 5 billion lights to 5 billion people and knock 5 billion people down like he did Paul and make 5 billion people blind and put an angel in the place of the guy at Damascus to teach him and lay hands on him and heal him? And do you think those 5 billion people would be the same when he got done? Don't be stupid. Do you think God could not have delivered these Egyptians without Moses? Pause, what fools we are. Ignorant, reluctant, stupid. I wish I wasn't on television for 5 minutes so I could tell you what I think of Moses and then tell you how much like Moses we are. What an asteroid orifice. And how gracious God is to make Moses a god to Pharaoh and give Aaron the chance to be his helper and give these two jerks first cabin jerks. Moses is going to get better. That gives me hope. Should give you hope. He's going to get better. But he's been a first-class jerk for several chapters now. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, boy, when they say, let's pray instead of give, you know where they're going. They've gone on the behold track. Behold for Jesus. Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. Well, that conjures up strange visions. And how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Well, I don't know, to tell you the honest truth. And the Lord said, you notice how Moses says, Behold, the Lord, he doesn't bother with all that spiritual introduction. The Lord says, See? I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. Understand me when I say this. Do you know that we are so lucky that God's making us a god to the world? Understand how I say it. Instead of shining those 5 billion lights and sending angels to do his work, he's given you an opportunity, me an opportunity. When will this inverted church, Christian, make God a beggar world get straightened out? And begin to understand what God has in store in eternity. And what he plans for us. It makes him willing to do his work through us. And unworthy though we are, give us these opportunities to be his representative, to stand before the world with the light of God's grace, the good news of the gospel, to be God's in his place, to bring this gospel. And you sit there and wonder, should I participate? Go on telephone. Okay, you don't have to take any more calls for a moment. 2 minutes. Here's a call from Pomona. Pastor, 3 years ago I fell down a flight of stairs, seriously injuring my head, neck, and spine and pelvis. I was told I would be disabled for life and have been on heavy narcotics for pain. Since my return from the Secret Five meeting in Berkeley, God has healed me to the point that I'm taking very little medication. I'm not using the various braces at all, and my energy level has increased so much that I'm now able to stay up and work 12 hours each day. Before, no more than 3 hours. Pastor, you're indeed God's gift to me. I never heard of you until after my fall, and you literally threw me a lifeline, saving my life physically and spiritually. I just wanted you to know that I'm so grateful and indebted to you that repayment is not possible, though I'll try. To God, and only to God. Your teaching, God's word, Jesus, has and is healing me. God bless you and keep you. Thank you, Dr. Scott, and my Father God. I think that's wonderful. Chapter 7, the book of Exodus. The Lord said unto Moses, See, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. Moses to speak to Aaron, and Aaron speak to Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. No asking. Tell him. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. There are all kinds of commentators try to change what God's word clearly says. They try to say that God allowed Pharaoh to harden his own heart. Baloney. God hardened his heart. He didn't want the old boy. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said, if you don't understand it, you can't understand anything he teaches. And in that parable, he says that he cloaks certain truths in parables so that seeing they may not perceive and hearing they may not understand, lest they repent. It may come as a shock to you. God doesn't want everybody. That's why I say the same words will bring truth or will bring life to some and death to others. You may think, well, I escaped. He's not reaching me. He's not getting me in on Secret Five. He's not getting me to participate. And the heart gets harder. I'll scare the liver out of you. I'm saying the same thing I've been saying all night in this chapter. God didn't need any of these people. The lucky ones were the ones that God chose to call and uses his instruments of deliverance. That's what Paul was teaching in the New Testament when he talks about God's sovereignty and said, while they were in the womb, God hated Esau and loved Jacob. You've had 15 years to understand the call of God. You will go one of two ways. Eagerly you will respond, or your heart will get harder. Now get on the phone. Chapter 7 in Exodus. The Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. That's a welcome change. And Moses was 80 years old. Don't you that aren't there yet, don't you want to learn to act right before you're 80? And Aaron, 83 years old. Same question. Don't you want to learn to act right before you're 83? When they spake unto Pharaoh. As I said earlier, don't try to change what God's word clearly says. Don't try to soften what God did. He's God. He does what he wants. I spent 15 years trying to point out to people how lucky you are if you have a response in your heart when God calls you. No man cometh to the Father, Jesus said. Say the Spirit drawing. You simply do not have sight to see light unless God has chosen you and placed that receiver in you, which is the capacity to receive from his transmitter. And it's not something to play around with. God wants to show off. Isaiah once said, truly thou art a God that hidest thyself. Well, sometimes he wants to display himself too. He does what he wants. He wants to put judgments on Egypt. He wants to deliver them with a harsh hand. And he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart so he can set the stage to do just what he wants. Now, we're going to watch these children of God in the Old Testament moan and groan and bellyache and squeal while they live through this display of God's strength. God's got his word to carry out. He said they not only would go down there and become strangers in a strange land and then become slaves, they'd come out richer than when they went in. God wants to slap the Egyptians around a bit. You don't really think those Egyptians loaned the Israelites money thinking after they got to Canaan they'd pay it back, do you? Huh? They were willing to do anything to get rid of them. How else was God going to make them? Well, he could figure out other ways, I'm sure, but this was a way that I'm sure gave him some pleasure. Jesus discerned of Judas. Though Judas walked with him, saw his miracles, listened to his teaching, the night of the betrayal he would reveal what he had always been. The son of the devil from the beginning. Now you can philosophize and worry about God's rights to do this, miss your own calling. Smart thing to do from this seventh chapter is thank God if you are one that's been responsive. At least God hasn't hardened your heart yet. Some of you that sit night after night, year after year, hear the truths unmoved. Could God be hardening your heart? Something to think about. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Pharaoh speaks unto Moses. Moses, you say to Aaron. What an awkward situation. This fool Moses didn't move fast enough, and he's saddled with Aaron. The Lord spake unto Moses, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, though the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. I find that kind of interesting. He didn't say, and then you're going to pick it up again and it'll become a rod in your hand. Remember, the first time this happened, he told Moses, cast his rod down, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. He just told him, cast it down. It became a serpent. It shall become a serpent. That's all he told him. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. Boy, they're learning. Give them credit. They're learning. It's a wonder a speech wasn't inserted there. Behold, will we be able to take it by the tail and it become a rod again? Oh, I almost went broke with Hope Street, God. Will I go broke this time? Can you give me a guarantee? Chickens for Jesus. At least Moses and Aaron are learning. So Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. They did so as the Lord had commanded. Aaron cast his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and behold, or and it became rather a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Aaron's rod's outnumbered. Or Aaron's serpent, that used to be a rod, outnumbered. You'll read some people who'll tell you that they had some kind of fake magic. They had frozen snakes that looked like a rod. When they threw them down, they started wiggling. I read one commentator said that. I mean, notwithstanding, I got to figure out where they were getting the ice there in Egypt in those days. The best way to interpret God's words, some it means what it says. Yeah. You didn't tell us this was going to happen, Lord. You didn't tell me that when I obeyed you and went down there and worked my miracle and threw my rod down in faith and it became a serpent, that these other magicians would come in and throw a dozen rods down or 100 rods down and my serpent's outnumbered. God's always sneaking up on you and letting the devil surprise you with his ability to attack. Why didn't God render their rods powerless and let them go cluckety-clatter and just be rods on the ground? My snake could crawl all over their rods, and I could say, see? Behold. They cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. There's a war going on. This typifies the war that always goes on when God calls you and leads you into a ministry of deliverance. Don't underestimate the devil. Quit acting so offended. I pledged my $1,000. And I had a moment of victory, thinking God's going to honor His word with me. Here come 15 of the devil's agents, IRS collector, bill collectors, and they make demands on me 10 times greater than what I've laid down. Quit making this some 5,000-year-old Bible story that has no impact on you. God didn't protect them from the other rods becoming serpents. I got to hand it to Moses and Aaron. When Moses' own rod turned to a snake a little while earlier, he ran from it. Now they got a whole floor full of snakes. How many got a whole floor full of snakes? Ever since you started to do something for God, you got a whole floor full of snakes. Let me see your hands. What makes you think obeying God eliminates the serpents when you start to act? And my guess is they were poisonous. Not too many in that area of the country that aren't. Where would they have been if they'd have quit and run? Cut bait. I like this story. It reminds me of the story of the guy who used to catch a lot of fish. I told it to you once before. The game warden came. He always came in, boatload of fish. He said, how in the world do you catch all that fish? He said, the game warden will go with me. I'll show you. So they went out in the boat, parked, anchored out under the bridge. Game warden one in the boat, and a fisherman the other, and the fisherman pulled a gunny sack out from underneath the seat, took out a stick of dynamite out of the gunny sack, lit the dynamite, and threw it out in the river, and kablowy, boom, boom, and the fish are all coming to the surface, and he's netting them in. Game warden starts cussing him, saying, don't you know that that's illegal? You can't fish like that. He reached in the gunny sack, took another stick of dynamite out, lit it, and tossed it in the lap of the game warden. Says, you gonna sit there and talk all day, you son of a buck, or you gonna fish? Yeah. It's time to fish or cut snakes. Don't underestimate Satan's power. He came right in there and he turned rods to snakes. That's the tragic mistake of so many of you. You get all enthused, you get all high when the opportunity to be God's instrument of deliverance comes along and you make your first step, and then because Satan doesn't lay down and die and beg you not to bother him anymore, you want to quit. He got plenty of tricks up his sleeve. This wasn't fake magic. Satan's got power. He turned those rods to snakes too. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Don't underestimate Satan, but don't overestimate him either. When God gets ready to do something, He will enable those that he calls. Didn't affect Pharaoh at all, because God was going to see to it that Pharaoh didn't change. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand with the river's brink. Against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know, that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that's in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe the drink of the water of the river. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, Take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. He lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. It doesn't tell us what they did, just they apparently were matching miracle with miracle. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. I like God's style. They put snakes on the floor and he gobbles them up. And the River Nile, that was the life spring of that land, the God that they worshiped, he turned it to blood, killed the fish, and demonstrated his power. And then Pharaoh still wouldn't believe. You know, we have a record. This is a pretty limited record that these Israelites have. The 400-year record of God keeping his word to Abraham. We got this whole book of God's record of keeping his word, with the astounding miracle of the resurrection of Christ, the astounding reality that God, for faith, will put his Spirit in us and let us become his habitation. And then, as few people in the modern age, this congregation cannot deny. You heard me tell the prophecy of Claire Grace long before we moved downtown. Some of you have watched us try, abortively, to take this message to the world on more than one occasion. Yet you have watched God fulfill an exact sequence, moving us when it seemed that every door had slammed in our face and our faith, and our efforts to act to protect God's honor had only produced a floor full of snakes. We have seen God move us to an established place. You got to be a real stupid person to look at what we have done at the cathedral, the testimonial, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," as replacing that great museum testimony to the development of God's word through the centuries. And then before we celebrate the first anniversary in that building next Easter, in 90 days, we have seen God open the doors and begin to take us to the world. So with this long record of God's faithfulness to his word and his power over Satan, the education of his word that when you start to act in faith on what God has said, all hell's going to break loose on you. The floor is going to get full of snakes. But again and again, to those that are faithful, God comes through victorious and proves greater is he that is in us and on our side than he that's in the world. And now with a modern demonstration of God's leading and a modern fulfillment of prophecy unfolding right in front of your eyes, and the opportunity to be his instrument in that, you're going to run the risk of getting on the wrong side? You're going to be a fool. And there are no onlookers. You may think you are. There aren't any onlookers. Jesus' words are eternal. If you're not for him, you're against him. There is no neutral ground. There's a war going on. You're either contributing to Satan's snakes or to the one that's going to eat Satan's snakes up. Oh, how quickly God reveals he can dry up the source of life. There wasn't a man in Egypt that could have believed that the river Nile would turn to blood, that the endless supply of water and food from its fishes could be dried up and turned to blood. And you're sitting there like you're holding a penny over your eye and can't see the perspective of what God is doing. Better wake up and get on the telephone.